Happy Earth Month, everybody. Now, I know every year we write down our different goals that we want to accomplish for yourself, people around you, manifest it. And maybe one of our goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. You value companies that are thoughtful in every aspect of how they run their business. Good news, Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Fresh air, frisbees, picnics, super cute dogs on leashes. I mean, that's my dream. Soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. Check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Again, donate in-store or online and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang. I am Becca Tobin here with Jack Vanek and Kelty Knight. How's
Kelty,
it going?
You look like alfalfa with that little hair spurt on your head.
You know what? My hair is like getting so... Come here, Callie. Callie wants to say hi. My hair is getting so luxurious because if there's like one good thing of COVID, it's that I haven't been having my hair done every day. So it's not breaking off in the like usual level that it does. So it's like so full and voluminous. And my top knot is like really quite spectacular.
Spectacular.
I'm looking so... I mean, the rest of me is a disaster, but my hair, my vagina hair is so long and my head on my hair is good.
All right. Okay, anyways, let's do this. It's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm starting.
No, because I think ours is the same, but okay.
I don't think so.
What? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Good week, bad weeks are the same? I don't know how you could even think that. Okay, so my bad week is I posted something on Instagram about this woman. It's like this woman who went out for the first time in Florida.
Yeah.
And all of her friends went out and everybody was doing what everybody's doing now. And partying and 16 of the friends tested positive for coronavirus after one night out. And my bad week is, well, A, surprise guys, it's not over. But B, I had like friends from Atlanta messaging me being like, yeah, and you know what? They're all going to be okay. And I'm like, I want to fucking murder you. I'm like, oh, really? They're all going to be okay? Like the guy that I know from New York who's been in the ICU for almost 80 days, who was healthy and like young, go fuck yourselves, Atlanta friends.
Well, okay. And then who forgot about the fact that it's not about you getting sick? Like, did we forget? It's like, it's been so long and now everybody decides they're over it, but everybody like forgot about the reason why we started doing the things that we're doing.
I know.
It's mind blowing. We have like amnesia for coronavirus.
It's so annoying. Here's my bad week. I went out for a run the other day.
Wait, wasn't that a bad week?
Oh my God. It was a bad week.
You can't have bad week. I'm not emotionally prepared for that.
Wait, can I please have a bad week? Because this is a good one.
Do it.
Bad week, our first ever in Lady Gang history, bad week from Becca. I mean, it's on brand.
Is it a self-deprecating bad week?
It's kind of a bad week win week. Okay, so I was running.
I'll allow it because it's a fucking dumpster fire. I don't care at this point.
Thank you. I was on like day four of my period and it was that freaking dry vagina day. You know what I mean?
Dry.
So I have the tampon in, but I'm running and it's just coming out. You know what I mean? It's just not staying in. So, and I don't want to run in a panty liner. So it's like, I had no choice. I had to put in a light tampon, but my vagina was not having it. I was really far from home. It was really, really, really bothering me. And so I ended up removing and discarding.
Oh, sick. With a legging or with a short?
That day I had a short, which is also why I needed to discard, because if I didn't, it's like it could have landed on the ground.
Oh no.
It was a hot day. I just didn't need that in my life. So yeah, it's upsetting, but there you go. That was a win. Problem solved.
Okay, I'm going to go. So for my good week, I got a very interesting DM on Instagram. Mm. And it says, I just wanted to thank you for all the research that you did on the correlation between drinking out of straws and farts. I literally thought that maybe not going to work every day was causing some sort of a reaction in my body, which led to so many farts that my family thought I was pigging out all day. I was in the middle of a run when you mentioned in the Lucy Hill podcast that drinking out of a straw was making you fart. I literally cheered while running because I realized that I had been drinking a ton out of a straw. I'm sure you'd rather be thanked for more inspiring things, but now I don't think that there's something wrong with my gut. You're awesome and I love the Lady Gang. Thank you, Gabby.
Gabby, you're welcome. Doing God's work here on the podcast.
I'm just a gut scientist over here. Mm. So that was a very nice message. Okay, so my bad week is I was watching a TV show that I enjoy with Jared the other day, and we're watching the screen, and then all of a sudden, who comes on the fucking TV but One Day Stand Man himself?
No.
Now, One Day Stand guy had been a D-list celebrity for a very, very long time. I forgot what his name was for the longest time. And then now, in the past like 2 months, he's popping up on not one, but two of my favorite TV shows. And while I'm watching, he comes on and Jared starts freaking out, being like, oh my God, Jack, have you seen this actor before? Like, he's so amazing. Like, let's watch some of his stand-up specials.
No.
And I don't know if it's this like ginger to ginger thing. Like he feels this like brotherhood with this guy, but
Well, he does now.
He doesn't listen to this podcast.
Someone's going to alert him.
Please don't alert Jared. Like Jared already has to like sit with the fact that I've made out
so
with
many
his,
things.
The singer of his band. I've hooked up with all these guys.
Wait,
that he knows.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I made out with the singer of his band before, like when I first met him.
He does know that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Weird.
And all the other, I mean, he knows so many people I've hooked up with. Like he doesn't need another one of some, like his like other ginger, you know.
Yeah. Let the man live.
Because you lived a little too much.
I don't regret a thing.
No regrets. Speaking of no regrets, I will move on to it's a good week. So,
to think about it.
Well, yeah, cause it's about you, Jack. So Brian Howie, who hosts the Great Love Debate podcast, he signed up for our newsletter, which y'all can do on our website, theladygang.com. And he loves to give me feedback on the newsletter. Like every 3 to 4 newsletters, like, I'll get a reply from Brian. He's signed up to the newsletter list and he'll like say something about the content of the newsletter. And I think he knows it's going to me. That's why he does it.
So he like, what kind of feedback?
Well, he'll just be like, good one, or like, nice gif, or like, I love the Spice Girls too. Like, whatever. He'll just write something stupid. Okay. So, you know, the past couple of weeks, we've been talking in our newsletter a little more about the actions that we're taking to, you know, move the Lady Gang forward. And Brian Howie responded and he said, so what you're saying is you're taking Jackson.
Oh, Brian.
Like an action that Jack takes. A Jackson.
Okay.
Like a Jacktivity, but a
Like
Jackson.
A Jacktivity, but like more serious. Like she's taking Jackson.
Jack is taking. Okay. I like Jackson.
Right?
That's a good
word.
It's
like, we need to take Jackson.
Brian Howie is like my dad. Just just offering up new words.
And unsolicited feedback.
On the reg.
Unsolicited. Like,
I mean,
always.
God.
And about the newsletter, like what a random thing to give feedback about. Out of all the things that we do, the newsletter.
Our newsletter is a hot fucking commodity.
It is a really good, I mean, the newsletter is great.
Our opens are amazing and we make it interesting every week and there's deals in there. I mean, there's about to be giveaways in there. Like shit, the newsletter's better than the podcast at this point. Okay. Was that a good week or a bad week? That was a good week, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Bad week.
Was going to be our same?
This is the bad week that I thought was going to be the same.
Okay.
So interesting.
So we have announced that can you stop licking your vagina? I need help. Callie won't stop licking her vagina. Does she have a yeast infection? I'm like, I put castor oil on it. Ew, I put CBD on it.
That's probably why she's licking it.
No,
I don't think you're supposed to put castor oil on your vagina. You're supposed to put it on your eyebrows.
She's so dry right now. She's like very summer allergies.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, back to the bad week. Okay. So we have a clothing line coming out for Express in July, just a few weeks. We're so excited. And we have gotten together to do this COVID version of a photo shoot. It was supposed to be this super fancy, amazing, like in a studio with like 30 people, like everyone. And we like did it very low key at Becca's house for our big Express campaign, which is so exciting. So we got like a few of the photos back. And just like the photographer was sending us like, hey, look, this turned out great. This turned out great. And we're like, oh my God, we look good. Becca's like, it's so cute. And Jack's first comment
oh my God.
On the photos, this is the first comment, not even, wow, these turned out great, or wow, great job, was, you better tell Claire to Photoshop my nail beds.
I did not say you better. I didn't say it like that.
It was something.
Can you please?
Sure, I don't talk like you better.
Okay. Can you please tell Claire, Becca, while I'm telling this story, can you look it up on that text?
Yes, I can.
Can you please tell Claire to Photoshop my nail beds, cuticles?
My gnarled cuticles. No, Jack, this is my turn to talk. I just think
defend myself.
This is so hilarious. And it's a bad week for me because I always get called out for being K-type and being the one that's like an absolute disaster of a human that is like focusing on these little minutiae that do not matter and like losing my mind over them. But it's Jack.
I am very photo is going out there about okay. my looks, Kelty Knight. And I
can you tell Claire to Photoshop my mangled nail beds on any detail shots with my nails?
Here's my biggest nightmare. And it's not even the photos. It's this video coming up like on a massive big screen and it zooms in on me zipping a zipper up. And then all you can see is my deformed thumbnail.
Okay, but here's the thing. And I think that this is why Kelty and I struggle so much with these hangups. When you're in the entertainment business, like first yes, of all, as an
but
actress,
I'm not.
I know, but this is now. The thing. You are now, bitch, which means you can't have total control over what is out there and what is shown. Like, I know. Have you seen what I have to wear in Hallmark movies? Like, that would be your absolute worst nightmare. You wouldn't come out of the trailer.
This is what I learned doing Lady Gang TV. That is one thing that I let go of, is just letting it out there and not being like super controlled. I'm like, I'm going to look like shit sometimes and I'm going to have a double chin, whatever. It's fine. I'm putting it out there. Yeah. But this is just, this is a coronavirus adjacent problem that I can't get a manicure and I've been very stressed out and anxious, and my anxious habit is picking my nail beds until they bleed, and I just feel like that might not be a good look for us.
Like, but you okay, you know what?
I hear you,
but like,
you guys, my thumbnail is so curved and crooked from years
my concern. Okay, so my concern at the photo shoot was the fact that one of our samples came in with the wrong colored buttons. Like, those are the things that I'm concerned with. Like, hey, sure, this doesn't have the right buttons. And Jack's like, my nail beds. And I just want everyone to please give me one moment of cleanliness in my soul, that it's not just me who's crazy in the lady game.
No.
Our guest is here, so let's do it.
Now back to the lady gang.
Our guest today has more fierceness in her fingertips than we collectively do in all three of our entire bodies. I have fallen in love with her beauty, grace, and sass, while also falling in love with my new favorite show on HBO Max, Legendary. We're going to talk about it, and I'm going to fill you in on why you need to be watching it. So basically, the last episode of Legendary came out. I DM'd her last week, begged her to come on the show, because now she's my new obsession. I want to know everything about her. But here is what I do know. She's been an active member of the queer ballroom scene in New York since the age of 15. She is the first ever openly transgender woman to appear on MTV's America's Best Dance Crew. She choreographed and appeared in Willow Smith's Whip My Hair music video. And speaking of whipping one's hair, she is so epic. She has her own signature hair flip move, the Leomi Lolly. Basically, everyone has copied her, guys. Janet, Beyonce, Gaga, Britney Spears. More on that later. She was the star of Nike's Be True advertisement in support of Pride Month in 2017, which is very fitting because now we're in Pride Month 2020. She is only the second transgender athlete to be featured in a Nike video advertisement. Game changer. She also choreographs and plays Florida Ferocity in my other favorite show, Pose, which the second season just went on Netflix, if you need to know. Anyway, so Becca and her have a Ryan Murphy connection because Becca was on Glee, obviously. She's one of the judges on HBO Max's show Legendary, and you can sort of tell she's the only judge who actually knows what she's talking about during the show. Welcome to the Lady Gang, Naomi Maldonado.
Thank you for having me, ladies. Thank you so much.
So that's such a big intro, but basically, I want to start with, how did you become the Wonder Woman of Vogue?
I came into the ballroom scene around the age of 15. I found out about voguing going to a boys and girls club called Kips Bay. And when I was attending that after school program, I came across who ended up being my first trans mentor. And she was in the kitchen where she worked. She was the chef. And she was voguing. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? Like, what? I need to know what this is. She told me what it was. And she told me that she had a surprise for me. So a few days later, she popped on. When I came back to Kips Bay, she gave me a VHS tape. And in the VHS tape, when I got home, it had all this. It had a compilation of all these trans women competing in the 90s. And like, I was automatically intrigued. I didn't really know what the house is or, you know, what it meant to be a part of ballroom. For me, I just fell in love with voguing. So my style of voguing was kind of different from what the people were used to. I got shaded a lot, got thrown so much negativity because I was so different. I was being a trans woman in the ballroom scene, they're used to seeing the girls being always feminine and really soft and not really being outgoing and like really getting out there and getting their fingernails dirty. And I was the type where I'm like, I have four brothers. I'm the only girl. Like, I've always been tough. So coming into the scene and learning how to vote, it was more athletic for me. And that's how I got the name Wonder Woman. I basically, you know, I showed them that I was able to gain respect based on just being authentic and being myself and just fighting for what it is to be a strong woman and being empowerment and having that empowerment in yourself and saying, yes, I'm strong and yes, I'm powerful and it's okay.
So Legendary, if you're not watching, you're an idiot. But basically what it is Naomi's on the judging panel with my old neighbor, La Roach, which is why I started watching the show because I was like, oh, I'm going
to start.
Megan Thee Stallion, who's one of my husband's clients at Roc Nation. So this is like such a weird world. But anyway, then Jamila Jamil, and then they have Naomi, and then they have a guest person come in. And these houses come out and they compete in these different sort of ballroom competitions, either solo or as a group, and then they either get cut or, you know, they get to be the superior house. It is so fantastical. It is so bright. It's so creative. There's so much energy, and you can tell that these competitors are fighting for their lives during the competition, like how much this opportunity means to them. So I know that you were originally asked to be a house mother and compete on the show. And then you were like, no, bitch, the Wonder Woman of Vogue. I could judge the show.
Amazing.
Yeah. When they reached out to me, it was about 2 years ago when they first started on the project. And when they first started in the project, it was out in the West. Of course, everyone who has gotten into ballroom, they know that ballroom started in New York. So, I felt like they kind of figured out, was like, we need the people from New York. We need it to be, you know, the real deal. And so they reached out to me. And at first they wanted me to be a part of the competition. For me, I have my own house, but my house is not as ballroom affiliated as other houses. Like my house is more so a family. I really stuck to the trueness of why the houses were created. And yes, although my kids do compete, my kids are more like performers. They're not into other categories. So for them, I felt like it would have been a little tough. I honestly also didn't want to be on there as a parent. I felt like I've been there, I've done that. And for me, my journey and my passion has come from like just loving what I do. I don't want to be there to be like become more famous or like get money. Like I've been able to have an amazing experience. I've been able to have, you know, such an amazing experience with sharing my talent. So when they came back to me, because at first, I wasn't going to be a part of the show. I was like, no, I don't want to be a mother. You know, I'm good. I'm okay. And it was like, no, this is like an amazing opportunity. But then when it came back around, it was like, listen, we got picked up for HBO Max, and we would love for you to be a judge. And they was like, you know, we need you. Like, being a judge, for you to be a judge on the show, it's going to be, like, so authentic. You're the one who I not only have I been a part of ballroom, but I've had to literally fight to become who I am now and to be respected and to become and to be given the title legendary or to be given the title iconic. I had to really, really work hard. It wasn't like I was somebody's friend and I got, you know, a golden ticket. No, I really worked hard. And honestly, my story, it's the most that coincides with what ballroom is. And I feel like with me being on that panel and me being able to give them what I had to put in to get to where I am, I feel like that's beautiful. I was on America's Best Dance to where, you know, I was disrespected on that show. I was, you know, I had a horrible time on that show. And I feel like a lot of the focus was on my transness. And that was something that for me, it's like,
yeah, they used you as a prop.
Yes. And for me, I'm like, I'm not out here screaming, I am trans, I am trans. And yes, I am proud of being a woman of trans experience. And I will be out here fighting for my brothers and sisters. But I didn't want to be on a show feeling like, oh, this is a handicap card. I wanted them to really get into me as an artist and really get into the fact that I have something to offer outside of just my story. And that's what I bring to the show. I want to show people that, you know, I can give you constructive criticism in a way where it's going to help you grow. A lot of times people get stuck in like saying the truth, but they don't know how to convey it and how to do it in a way where you're planting a seed. I don't want to tarnish your future. I want to plant a seed. I want to help you grow.
I love this. And you really are so good. The fashion that you're wearing on the show, the looks are so incredible. I want to ask you this. I am a like really basic
bitch.
Like I'm a real basic loser, right? I'm a, you know, cisgender white person basic. And I happen to just love this community. Like I'm someone who Pose is like one of my favorite TV shows, which you were amazing on. Legendary is amazing. I'm someone who watches RuPaul's Drag Race, even though I know there is some beef with them stealing stuff from ballroom. But what is it like? Is it weird to you to see someone who is so, I'm not in this community at all, love these types of shows? And do you feel like, of course it's great because it's becoming more mainstream, I guess, but in a way, like all of a sudden I have my fan and I'm like, it's tens across the board. And you're like, hey bitch, like you don't even know what you're talking about. Like, how do you balance that?
For me, the difference between appropriation and celebrating someone is knowledge. Educating yourself. A lot of people like, yes, when you see a ball happen, when you watch Legendary, when you watch Pose, you see them attend these things. They look like events, they look like parties. Anyone is going to want to attend a party. Anyone is going to want to attend an event. But they need to understand that this is a culture. This didn't just happen just because, oh, we want to have fun. We had to create houses and we had to create ballroom because we weren't being celebrated for who we were. We weren't being given the flowers that we deserve. So we had to create a place of our own, a place of our own safety, a place where back in the 80s and in the 70s, we couldn't go out and be comfortably ourselves. You know, we had to hide. So this is why this was created. I feel like a lot of times when people are in awe of ballroom, they don't remember or they don't take time to understand why this is here. Like, yes, it's a party. Yes, it's celebrated. It's celebratory, but it's a reason for it. It's not like just like a happiness it's not a trend. It's a lifestyle. We're here and my generation is here and I'm able to pave the way for people, but there were people who were here before me. You know, they had to fight. There were people who had to fight for our rights. There are people who had to fight for us to be accepted and for us to be respected. And I feel like people need to understand that. And for me, I'm always open to like allowing people to come in because why not? If we don't bring people in that are not knowledgeable, how are they to spread that knowledge? You know, and that's why the show is so important. And that's why it's so important to have all the different judges on those specific chairs, because those judges kind of bridge ballroom into a different part of mainstream, and that alone is powerful.
Yeah, you know exactly what you're talking about. You'll come out, a house will come out, you'll say, it was great, but this is a voguing challenge and I only saw one of the Vogue move. Like, you're so particular, where Law's talking about fashion and then Megan's just like, am I having a good time? Am I entertained? And Jamila's like, I really don't know. I love that there's so many shots of her looking at you. And then when you give the snaps, when you have approved what's
she's
happening,
like, okay, me too.
All of a sudden starts snapping. Yeah, she's definitely looking to you because she doesn't really know, you know, what she's looking for. Before we talk a little bit more about your life, I
want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to my dresser, to my stylist, because, you know, you talked about my fashion on the show.
Yes.
Honestly, if it wasn't for Eric Archibald, I don't know what I would have been looking like. Between him and Greg Bazemore doing my hair and Chris Maquillage doing my makeup, like, I don't know. I usually do good with glam, but shout outs to them. They were my glam team. They brought Leonie to life.
It's incredible. And I mean, was it just hours of, did you do the full, like, 4 hours in the hair and makeup chair to, like, make this moment? Yeah, you went there.
It was every single time it was at least 4 hours.
Oh, and you love that, because, I mean, even we're podcasting in our sweatpants, you look gorgeous. Are you, you know, are you, like, really super into the glam and that kind of thing? Like,
on an everyday, no. On an everyday, I literally, I just
started. Because
you're
kind of sporty on your Instagram.
Yes, I'm very sporty. So on an everyday, the most I'll put on is moisturizer, a lip balm, and maybe I'll throw on a lash. Because, you know, a lash, it'll turn your face into a whole situation. But as far as the show, like, I love, my dream has always been to be a model. So being like a mannequin and being dressed up and put together, to me, like, when I'm done and I look in the mirror, I feel so good. I'm like, wow, like, look at me. I'm a girl from the Bronx and they got me in all this, you know, situations. I look like, you know, I look like coins. So I love it. I love it. It has been an amazing experience.
I can't wait to see, and the show's so good. There's going to be multiple seasons around the world, I'm sure. It's so great. So this week, I do want to, you know, make the announcement on our podcast history that this is a very landmark week for the LGBT equality. Basically, in simple terms, an employer who fires an individual merely for being gay or transgender defies the law. That is what the Supreme Court did this week to protect
our
gay and transgender workers. What does this mean to you? Because this is historic. And this has, it's crazy to think just a few months ago, even in the presidential election, we had someone on the Democratic side that would be running for president that didn't even, was gay and was not even covered by these laws.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy because although this is something to celebrate, because it is something to celebrate, we've come so far, and for them to acknowledge our human rights, although we shouldn't have to go through this, no one should have to go through this, like, it's beautiful, but in the other end, trans women are being killed left and right. So many trans women are being killed and no one is doing anything about it. They don't really talk about it. They choose to misgender these women. And it's become really, really bad. Like, it's so sad. Like, at this point in my life where, you know, Legendary is out and we just got these rights approved, it's hard to celebrate when so many of my sisters are not here. They can't celebrate. They can't benefit from these rights. They can't see the next day. And that's tough. About a week and a half ago, I took myself, I saw one of my friends post like a fake obituary, basically saying that could have been him. And I chose to post that. And I honestly didn't care of the reaction. I wanted people to understand, because sometimes, and I realized even after posting that, seeing some of the comments, like, it made me realize that some people don't value others how they do one, you know? And it's like, I don't want you to value me based on me being on TV or based on what you think my value is. Like, everyone should be worth the same. Everyone's life should be worth the same. And honestly, this is just the beginning. I feel like we need to be out there more. We need allies, especially allies, to be out there and to be vocal and to be out there fighting with us and to protect us, because if we can't protect ourselves, how are we going to get past this?
I love that. All right. So I want to know your story. You grew up in the Bronx. How did you become this? And did you always know that you were fucking gorgeous.
No, I had a tough time growing up. I've always been athletic since I was young, like naturally athletic. I'd never played sports, so I never did none of that. But growing up, my dad used to like really enforce martial arts into me. So a lot of the training and stuff like that was really tough. So I've always been physically, I've always been a little more muscular. And when I first started transitioning, that was something that I fought with myself. It took a long time for me to be comfortable in certain clothing. And it took for me to be comfortable in my skin. I always felt like, oh yes, I'm pretty in the face, but it's more to that. You know, I felt like me being a woman, I didn't know how to accept who I was. I didn't know how to accept my body type. Honestly, it wasn't until a few years ago. As confident as I've always been, as confident as I always seem, when it came to me and my womanhood, I've always, like, I wasn't really happy. It wasn't until, honestly, traveling internationally and going to all these different dance competitions to judge and to teach and to hear all these stories of these different women around the world and how much they look up to me and how much my body inspires them and seeing how much my story moved them. That's what kind of made me accept myself. As far as confidence, I've always felt like if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will, no matter where you are in your life. And that's something that for me has kept me strong, has kept me at a pace where I'm always on the go, even when, you know, I'm going through bad things. I don't know, my journey has been so tough, but I've learned not to allow those things to drown me. I've learned that so many people look up to me. So many people are inspired by my story. And that's what keeps me going. I'm inspired by people who are inspired by me. A lot of times I get all these stories. And I love the fact that people, when I acknowledge people, because I'm a type of person, I respond to all my IG emails. I respond to all my DMs.
Thank God, because here you are. Yay!
Facebook, you know, here I am. Facebook, when I go on live, I acknowledge all the comments. I want people to know, like, I'm not just this superstar. Like, no, I'm just like you. I came from the Bronx. I was raised in the projects. I've been homeless. I've gone through things that, you know, people of my community have gone through. And I'm just here to show people that you can make it. You can survive. You don't have to be a follower. You can make your own lane. And although it takes time, Mm-hmm. Like, it takes a long time. And honestly, I pat myself in the back because I have no team. I don't have a manager. I don't have PR. I don't have no one that's telling me what to do or how to do it. I've been able to do this all on my own and based on my brand and what I stand for. And I feel like that's the most powerful thing ever.
It's amazing. Damn, that. No, that is incredible. I had no idea. I was like, oh, well, she's got to have like her whole team. Let's reach out to the, and I was like, okay, I will say this. Since Legendary started, I've been like literally spending a lot of my time watching all your videos, and I worked out harder at the gym based on your gorgeous body this week.
Oh, wow.
Like the videos of you in that black bodysuit on the rooftop. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is the most gorgeous body I've ever seen. So whenever you're feeling like not great in your body, which happens to all of us, you just remember Kelty squatted with 15-pound weights on Naomi's butt. Okay.
I gotta be honest, Kelty, that may never be in your future.
No, it's definitely not. Okay. So my last question before we go to Ask the Lady Gang, you're so great, is I am being educated on my shablam versus my shawam. So mm-hmm. I love this. So I knew shablam from RuPaul's Drag Race, but it's a shawam, and these mm-hmm. are all things that people have stolen from the ballroom culture and then changed into something else. So can you clear up the shablam versus the shawam?
So the thing is that the word shawam, it's not specific to the movement. The move is called a dip,
right?
Which they recalled the death drop, right? But when you're dancing and you do your dip, it's kind of like a period or like an exclamation mark. So when the commentator is on the mic, he gives the shawam as a sound effect.
Right. Oh.
So when they do the shablam, obviously when you're looking at the people who are shablamming, they're actually shablamming. If you cast the shade.
Ooh. I know. I wanted to have my big, I have like one of those big fans. Like that's how much of a fan I am. And I wanted to have my fan. And I was like, I don't know if she's going to be like mad that I'm copying the fan from.
No, you should have pulled your fan out, girl. It's your moment, girl.
Damn it. Okay. Next time you come on. All right.
You messed up, Kelsey.
I know, obviously. All the time.
One thing. Sometimes you don't have to overthink some stuff. Just go for it. Okay.
Okay.
When you overthink things, sometimes you keep yourself from having a great moment.
Thank you. Well, the next time that. I see
that's
you.
That's a mirror gonna, message right there.
I know.
Next time I see I'll you, I'm going to have my fans.
Everyone okay. Use it.
When I, when we come back, Naomi's going to fix your life.
Yes.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
Okay, and we're back. So for this part of our podcast, we have our listeners writing questions and we give them sometimes questionable advice, sometimes good advice. It's like a Dear Abby kind of situation.
Mostly bad advice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, so our first question says, my husband's ex made a TikTok about my husband talking shit on him. My husband doesn't give any fucks about it, but it kind of bothers me. To give you some backstory, I dated my husband in high school, but we temporarily broke up. During this time, he dated the TikTok girl for 5 years before we got back together. She's always had it out for me. I previously had to block her on all social media, and she's always tried to tear us apart. The fact that people make TikToks about exes seems appropriate, but is there any advice, and should I be upset?
Girl, you better pay that girl no mind. The man is with you for a reason. Hello? She's upset. Why wouldn't she be upset? You got the prize, girl. You're wasting your time.
Exactly.
What you need to do is continue making videos happy with your man. Go on vacation. Show up how happy you guys are. That's just going to make the person more miserable.
There you go.
I love it.
Living well is the best revenge.
Hello? It really is. It really is. And that girl's so bored that she's making videos of her ex-boyfriend.
That lets you know she's
that's
very bored.
Sad.
Worrying about somebody that she was with years before that. Please.
All right. So don't give up. Girl. Okay, second question. That was the easiest answer we've literally ever had in the history of Lady Gang, by the way.
Straight to the point.
Church of Leomi here.
Okay, second question. And this kind of goes back to what you were talking about a few minutes ago. The question is, I know I'm not fat because other people say I'm skinny, but I feel so uncomfortable in my body. Sometimes it even ruins my mood and day when I try on new clothes or even look at clothes online. I'm a professional dancer, so I have to be skinny and toned for my job. When I don't look as in shape at certain points of the year where I don't have to be, I feel terrible. I wish I didn't feel like this because it ruins how I feel, how I act to others and my family. How can I start to change my mindset?
Well, girl, you need to start accepting yourself. That's the first thing. I mean, as an athlete myself, there are times where, honestly, I put things on and did this not look right on me. Everything is not going to look right on everyone. And honestly, that's why I can't do no online shopping. I need to go there. I need to try the stuff on myself and try it on with different things. Don't discourage yourself. Like, girl, no one is perfect in this world. You got to find a way to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, nobody else will.
True. I had a moment the other day where I was really beating myself up about just not looking my best. Mm-hmm. And first of all, we're in COVID. No one is even fucking seeing me.
I know. So when's the last time you saw a person?
And then it just made me realize how much of my life and my energy is wasted on something that I'm the only person noticing. Because that's the other thing is other people are not, I guarantee you, they're not noticing. If anything, they're noticing that you have a strong, beautiful body as a dancer. Yes. That's it.
Very true. That's so true.
That is the biggest lesson that I had learned as I've gotten older. It's like nobody notices when you gain or lose weight. Nobody notices when you haven't gotten Botox. Nobody
knows
any of this shit except for you.
It is. But that's the pressure that we put on ourselves based on social media standards.
Yeah.
And that's something that with me, I'm a girl where I don't Photoshop my pictures. I don't do special editing. I don't feel like doing that. At the end of the day, what am I going to go through all of that? And then you're going to see me in person and be like,
yes, bummed out.
What? You know, hell no.
I mean, I also wouldn't be Photoshopping my face if I had yours. So,
if I had your face,
also not really like fair.
Selfies every day.
She's on Zoom, and I'm like, is this a shoot? Like a full-blown photo shoot?
Listen, I only drink water, guys. Like, I literally drink water. That really does a lot for your skin. That's the beginning of it. You have to start with real, well-moisturized skin. For real.
You and J-Lo.
You and J-Lo, just the water.
I just talk about the water.
I love coffee and alcohol too much for this.
I know.
Life.
Well, alcohol is okay, but you can water it down after. But coffee, no good. No sodas, no coffee.
Oh, we're all damn screwed.
Well, your skin looks amazing.
It's lighting.
Yeah. If
Jack
turn,
too. Jack's skin looks amazing as well.
She's got good skin.
We try. Okay, so last question.
Her nail beds are horrible. Sorry.
Up, Kelty.
That's an inside joke with us because she wanted us. We did a photo shoot, Leomi, and I talked about this in the podcast. We did a photo shoot, and she was very, very concerned about her nail beds being photoshopped because they were ugly.
Oh,
but it's
God.
Okay because we love Jack, and she's picking her nails right now because she's nervous.
No, I pick my nails as a nervous habit, and my nail beds are deformed now. Thank
I do that
for
too.
It out again.
You know what's crazy? I'm a huge nail biter, and I usually get my nails done like with acrylic and stuff every 3 weeks. So I haven't spent a long period of time without my nails until now because of COVID. I have on nubs. Look at these nubs.
Same. How do you?
Guys,
I mean, mine are bleeding.
We're saving all that money. Think about it. That's what I think of every time.
I'll be here chewing. I'm saving money, but I'm in pain.
I'm literally eating my fingers off.
Okay.
Well,
we have to
somebody
let her go
understand.
To her. We have to let her go to her life. So let's do our last question.
Last question. Okay. Lately, I feel like my boyfriend has been feeling less and less attracted to me. Important, loving little things have slowly faded away in our relationship, and we haven't been having nearly as much sex as we used to. And I did something I know I shouldn't have done by creeping back on him and his best friend's text history. I caught a message from about 5 months ago when they were talking about how his buddy and his girlfriend are breaking up. And then my boyfriend goes, "Yeah, that's fair. I'm starting to want to have sex with other people too." He then followed that up with a low-key jab at my job saying, "I'm tired of dating people in the bar industry." Is this a huge red flag or should I not worry too much because it's just banter with his buddy?
First of all, girl, however you're feeling, you need to address it with him. The best things that can work in relationship is communication. You need to let him know how you feel and find out whether he really still wants to be with you. Like, honestly, ask him, find out. That's the best way you can move forward, honestly, based on his response, based on what he wants and what you want. You might hear something that might make you feel like, baby, I don't need you. You know, you might realize you might not need him. So, girl,
if you
have a conversation.
If you went through somebody's phone like she did, would you admit, like, should she admit to her boyfriend that she
went
through?
I would have brought it up. I would not waste no time. I'd be like, listen, I seen what was in your phone. What happened?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
What's up
well, and
now?
Also, his reaction is going to be so telling. If he gets terrified, like, and so apologetic, you know that he knows he fucked up and he was kind of like showing off in front of his guy
friend.
Yeah.
But then if he gets mad at you for going through his phone and defensive,
well, yeah.
Then you already know.
Then you already know.
Go.
Yep. And then, well, and also I would say just to take, you know, 1% personal responsibility, because when you are in a long-term relationship, the sex does become very vanilla. And this is where I will always tell you to get a costume and bring a nipple tassel.
She wants a nipple tassel.
Yes, y'all gotta start, you know.
Maybe this is just a sign that you're
bring a different girl to the bed. That's it.
Bring a different girl to the bed.
Put a wig on, you know.
Right.
It's like, and that's a situation.
It's work. It absolutely is work in a relationship, and it's something that, you know, you have to not allow yourself to get super lazy. And so, you know, maybe it's time for you to head on over and get a $15 netted onesie.
Yes, and that's what it is. You have to find different ways to spice up, you know, your sex life.
And
sometimes, you know, your partner might not feel comfortable to tell you exactly what they want or need.
Yeah,
but you gotta find different ways to get it out there. You know, choke him up, tie him up sometimes.
Yes. Also, newsflash: you're for the rest of your life, no matter who you're with, you're gonna think about having sex with other people. Like
that's just human.
That's just human nature. I mean, it doesn't mean you're gonna want to go do that, but you're gonna think about it.
I think about it all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
I have dreams that I cheat on my boyfriend every night
with Shawn Mendes.
With Shawn Mendes
all the time. All the time. All right, you guys, if you're not watching Legendary on HBO Max, new episodes come every Thursday. We don't want you to leave. You're so amazing. You can follow Leomi on her Instagram. It's at WonderWoman1, but the E in Wonder is a 3. So 1-3-R-Woman-1. We're going to post all about her so that it'll be easy to follow. Thank you for coming on and sharing
your
like light and story and knowledge and sass with us. You're so fucking good.
Thank you so
I love
much.
This show so much. And we will
see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening, and make sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We have new episodes of Lady Gang every Tuesday and Thursday. Follow us on social media at The Lady Gang. Follow us personally at Kelty, most importantly, at Becca, and at Jack Bannock. The Lady Gang Network is produced by Will Sterling, Steve Delamater, Kirsten Woodward, and Elizabeth Bequet. Thanks for rating and reviewing wherever you get your podcasts, and tune in for new episodes every single week.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's face it, sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting, all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking is easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try, and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you need is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare, so it's simple to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.